Team 33, the football magazine show for the football purists.
Oh, come on, it has! They had one team in the quarterfinals.
Live at 9 p.m. every Friday on OTB Sports Radio. On the OTB Sports app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Daniel Harris is with us to look ahead to the new season. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Let's start with Liverpool, because a couple of days ago, Jurgen Klopp had a bit of a pop off Frank Lampard talking about the way that a team can't just change overnight, how Liverpool don't have a state or an oligarch funding them. And it definitely felt like there's a little bit of a beef brewing here between Jurgen Klopp and Frank Lampard. That's interesting, but it does feel to me that the subtext around these quotes are a legitimate concern or frustration about how Liverpool have done in this transfer window so far.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think, well, obviously they had beef on the touchline towards the end of last season, but I think the first thing to say is it's sort of nice to see in that when Klopp and Guardiola were competing, there wasn't a lot of needle between the two of them. And I found myself watching it thinking, I wish we had a prime Mourinho or a prime Fergie to stir this up a bit, because these guys are having it too easy and they're taking it too easy on each other. And the needle in the competition is enjoyable to watch and it gives it a little bit extra. I think probably Klopp is slightly frustrated because when you're the best, you need to continue investing. It's like I remember hearing Marcus Trescothick, the cricketer, once saying that when he was in form, he practiced extra hard to make sure that he didn't waste it. And I think that's kind of the case with Liverpool, that they've proved themselves to be the best team in the country over the last season, but they haven't done very much about reinforcing that superiority, which means that other teams have the opportunity to catch up. Liverpool haven't really done the thing to get further ahead, other than they might hope for some organic improvement. But even that is not that likely, because like they play a very physical style and there wasn't a long turnaround and they don't have a very big squad and they got lucky with injuries last season. But also that the other teams are signing better players, and Liverpool's players, probably the better players, apart from Trent Alexander-Arnold, the better players aren't getting better now. Virgil van Dijk, the player he is the player you see. Same with Sadio Mane, Mohamed Salah. They're probably not getting better in their late 20s. So that gives other teams scope to catch them up a little bit. And it also, we have to be very clear that the season that Liverpool produced last season is unprecedented, really, like what they did before lockdown. And so the likelihood of them producing another one of those is small, because they also had to win a lot of games by one goal to achieve that. And that kind of fortitude, it lasts, but it seems like it's unlikely to keep them going through another 38 games.
The injury point is an interesting one. I guess there is, of course, there's an element of luck when it comes to injury, because you're avoiding the freak injuries. I do think that there is a good injury profile in a lot of these Liverpool players, and it is part of the criteria that Jurgen Klopp looks at when he's signing a player. But like, I guess on the motivation element of things, going back to defend a title is a more difficult thing because you're not going for your first one in 30 years. But what about the motivation to keep your place in the team? Like, the team picks itself for Liverpool. To get away from that, I would have thought, is a very important aspect of what Jurgen Klopp needed to do over the last couple of weeks. And he obviously hasn't had the financial weapons to be able to challenge that. Liverpool's stars are still relatively unchallenged in that starting 11.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll ever be accusing the Jurgen Klopp team of not being motivated enough. I just can't see it. Like, that's the genius of Klopp.
Yeah.
That he is able to manipulate and cajole these players to get not just the best out of them, but to get out of them in a lot of cases stuff that we didn't even know was there and they might not even have known was there. And I think that, yeah, it is possible. I mean, I understand the mentality. Like, they did the big thing, and so doing it again to get ready to go again is hard, but I would be very surprised if we saw a Jurgen Klopp team failing in that regard. There might be other aspects in which they fail. It might be like Manchester City just have a much better season and get too many points. But I don't think that we'll be watching Liverpool saying they've not put it in today.
Over the last few years, we've seen Jurgen Klopp's style develop a little bit. Like, his pressing at Dortmund is different to the pressing at Liverpool. I mean, early days at Liverpool, there was more of a predication on counter-attacking, whereas now they're much more comfortable controlling a game. Do you expect a further development this season, given teams have figured them out a little bit more after the huge body of successful work last year?
I don't think it's so much about figuring them out, because I don't think, like, it's not that, like, the way Liverpool play to me is not that complicated. Like, they get the ball out wide as quickly as possible. The fullbacks are high and wide, or they get it into Roberto Firmino as quickly as possible, and then they have two wide attackers who attack the box, and the balance is supplied by midfielders who run about a lot mainly. But I think the signing of Thiago, if that happens, will give them a different dimension, because he is the kind of player that they've lacked. The question is whether they find a way of fitting him in to make it work, because what they have now does work. But it does feel... I mean, Thiago's not exactly a lock picker. Like, he plays a bit deeper than that. And Klopp knew that they needed a lock picker 2 summers ago, because he tried to sign Nabil Fekir. Like, he knew that the midfield lacked a bit of class. I guess he might be hoping that Minamino will deliver that, although he's been playing him out wide mainly. And he does also have Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who gives you something a little bit different in midfield. But what Thiago does is he allows a team to control the tempo of a game by ways other than just running the legs off the opposition and forcing them to play a quicker game than they're capable of physically, mentally and technically. What Thiago does is it's that intelligence and composure and passing that allows him to more dictate the pace of what's going on. And Liverpool, they don't have that. And if Liverpool are able to attract that and then incorporate it, that will give them a different way of playing. And I think will give them a lot, will be particularly helpful in Europe. So I think the thing for Liverpool is still that they lack a playmaker at number 10. I mean, they use Roberto Firmino as that, but it's not so much about him finding those little passes as they play off him. And they still look like they're going to lack that player who can produce that little bit of genius that unlocks a packed defence. Against most teams, it doesn't matter, because they have enough weapons to make sure that they get themselves wins anyhow. But Thiago will give them a better way of controlling the tempo, and I guess the person who makes the pass before the pass, so the actual pass rather than the pass before the pass, is easier and can be played earlier, because he has the vision to deliver the ball that enables that to happen.
Yeah, and like, who knows what a player like that or a position like that impacts in this Liverpool team, because like, from what you're saying, it's almost as if there's like a hole or a deficit in that Liverpool team, which is very difficult to argue, because you mentioned there a bit earlier on about how difficult it is to back up the points total that they've had, how difficult it is to do that back to back. Well, they've done that already, so it's about sort of doing it again. Are you questioning whether Liverpool are actually going to get it done this season, Daniel, or is it a case again by how much?
You're saying, do I think Liverpool win the league? I'm not sure. I mean, I think it is obviously a two-horse race. I don't think that Chelsea have the defence to challenge. United haven't done the work so far in the areas that they needed to do the work to challenge. And even then, those two teams might well have needed an extra season to bed in the way that they want to play and to get the familiarity and the composure and to feel confident and comfortable with each other. I think that if City get themselves another defender, I would say that they're probably favourites. But at this point, it's really hard to say, because we need to see them play. But I think a big advantage that City have over Liverpool is the squad size. There hasn't been a lot of turnaround. I mean, some players are still sort of playing last season because of the internationals that have been going on. So I think that is more of a problem for City than for Liverpool than for City, because City are able to rotate their front players and still get the job done. If I was betting, I guess I would probably bet on City, but It's a narrow one, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if Liverpool got it done again. But I think the thing with Liverpool is that they actually played better football, I thought, the season before when they didn't win the league, than last season. Last season, they became extremely adept at getting over the line and just finding a way to win. And I'm not sure that could be enough for another season. I think they would need to get back to the level they played the season before last to match what I think City are going to do with a better defence.
Just going back to Klopp's quotes, Daniel, talking about Chelsea having to get all these pieces to fit together pretty quickly. Is he right about that? Is he right about the fact that Chelsea are going to have a bit of an issue this season getting all these super signings together?
Maybe or maybe not. We don't really know who's going to play where and what Frank Lampard's plan is. And last season, ultimately, they lost a lot of games and they struggled to find goals when they needed them, I would say, Chelsea, and the goals that would offset the horrendous defending and goalkeeping. It may well be that sometimes happens that you put two or three new players into a team and they all gel. I mean, Liverpool spring to mind when in the summer of 1987, they signed Beardsley, Barnes and Aldridge. And I think they signed Houghton slightly later than that. And they put them into a team and they became, for me, like until this Klopp team, the best Liverpool team that I'd ever seen. And it just worked. And sometimes it just works. With Chelsea, with the specific players that they've bought, I love Hakim Ziyech. I think he is a beautiful player. But he is a player that you could see struggling to adapt to the pace of the game in England because he's an artist. And English football isn't always conducive to artists, certainly in the beginning. I mean, if you look at someone like Robert Pires, who was an excellent player, it took him 3 or 4 months to understand what it took in English football for him to impose his artistry on that game. Juan Sebastian Veron's another one. I mean, slightly different with him because he was coming into a fully functioning midfield. But he wasn't the failure that people say he was at United, but he was better in the Champions League because the pace of the game suited him better. And it's possible that that could be the case for Ziyech. Werner, is he going to play on the wing? Is he going to play through the middle? Is a question that we don't really know the answer to. If he plays through the middle, you wonder about whether he has the physical presence to hold the ball up in the way that you need. Now, you look at someone like Sergio Aguero, who's dynamite in the box, and for him, that's enough. We don't know if Werner's a player of the quality of Aguero. What I've seen so far, I would say not. I think that Havertz, it's a matter of time. I think Havertz has a load of talent, and Chelsea knew that they had to buy Havertz this summer because he would go somewhere better next summer when more clubs had money. They got lucky, I think, that they had a free run at him. But yeah, like fitting them all together into a team is, as Klopp says, it's often difficult, but it's not always difficult. And I think Klopp is irritated that someone else has got more money than he has and that he's competing with nation states and oligarchs, which is an absolutely fair point. But you do also have to remember that Klopp is, I mean, he's a football manager. He only cares about his own team and he's a hypocrite like they all are. When United signed Pogba, he was banging on about how he would never spend this amount of money on that kind of player. And it was obviously bollocks at the time. And then he obviously was allowed to buy Alisson and Van Dijk. And all of a sudden, that wasn't the case anymore. And then Chelsea were allowed to spend loads of money. And it wasn't the case for Klopp. And that's back being the case. So I wouldn't read too much into what Klopp says about the fairness of it all particularly. But at the same time, I think it's a fair point. I don't think that oligarchs and nation states should be allowed to be involved in football clubs and financing like this. But back to the original question, sometimes when you try and incorporate a lot of new players, it works and sometimes it doesn't. I think that Chelsea will hand out some absolute kickings this season because there will be times when they get it right. I then look at that team and see, I think that they're potential champions though.
Yeah, it's exciting. They're a really, really exciting prospect, if nothing else, to watch over the next little while. In many ways, are Manchester United the antithesis to that idea of Chelsea getting together a team of Galacticos and us being unsure how well they're going to gel? Because we're pretty sure how cohesive Manchester United are, but conversely, they haven't signed very many players. And every time, like you look, any time a Manchester United player tweets, all the responses are, sign someone, get someone into the club.
Every time I say anything, it's tell me about Sancho. Tweet something about politics. Tweet something about what I'm having for my lunch. Any Sancho news. I think that United have, what I was saying about Liverpool and organic improvement, United and Arsenal and Chelsea have probably more room for organic improvement because, I guess, firstly, because the players are just less good to begin with, and also the players are younger. So they've got more room to improve individually, and also they're not a settled, perfectly balanced side like Liverpool. So the more they play together, the more comfortable they will become playing together. I think what you saw with United was you saw that when they signed Bruno Fernandes, him being good was somehow used as a stick by some people with which to beat Solskjaer, as though the people were saying, well, actually, it's just all him. As though a manager identifying a problem and solving it in the best possible way was indicative of weak management, not good management. But I also think that people didn't understand that when they bought Bruno, he didn't just make everyone else better because he was good. What he did was he elevated the work that had already been done. So he was just another connection in the team that allowed the rest of the team to play well. Because it wasn't like United hadn't played well before Bruno. They played really well and they won away at City in the league. They'd walloped Newcastle, they'd walloped Norwich, they'd walloped Chelsea. They'd won away at Chelsea twice. No, I think they won away at Chelsea once before Bruno, I think. So what he did was he raised the level of everyone else, but he raised the level of all the work that had already been done in making the team good. The main problem that United had last season was injuries. And when they took away Pogba for the whole season and Martial missed chunks of the autumn, they weren't as good because they didn't have any suitable replacements for those players, or they didn't have solutions within the first 11. Whereas now, let's say that Martial got an injury, now you could play Mason Greenwood at centre forward and play Daniel James on the right. Not as good, but something. If Pogba was injured or if Fernandes was injured, you've got Donny van de Beek. So you've got solutions for when the worst happens, because the worst happening for United is Bruno Fernandes getting injured. So I can see why the one deal that United have done is mitigating against that, like what happens if the worst happens. And also, last season, when they played in the Europa League, they could afford to rest all the first team. Now they're in the Champions League. That isn't an option. So they're going to need to be rotating more than they did last season. So they still need more players for that reason. They need players for the first 11, and they also need players to bring in and not reduce the quality by any market in any market sense in order to keep the players fresh.
Hmm. I guess the frustration amongst many fans might be, where is our headline signing? Is there a deliberate attempt here almost that if you are going to sign somebody, it needs to be of Jadon Sancho's quality, otherwise we run the risk of upsetting the chemistry that is developing in this squad, and for whatever, 40, 50, 60 million pounds, that may not be worth that risk. Is that a deliberate strategy, do you feel?
I don't think that anyone particularly demanding a player of Jadon Sancho's fame or whatever, or value, it's just, I'm sure some children are, but it's just about Ole knows where the squad needs strengthening, and it's about bringing in players to make the team and the squad better. And it doesn't matter what their name is or what they cost. The United style that has defined all the great United teams, all of them, has been some homegrown players, a few expensive signings, and a few clever signings. And it doesn't matter who Ole buys as long as they're good. Like, they don't have to be a huge name. They just have to be good at football and fit in to the squad and fit into the team and satisfy the skill profile and the mentality profile that he wants to bring in. And as he said, I think he'd rather have a hole than an arsehole. So you don't want the wrong player, but at the same time, there are various right players who are available for United, and the question really is whether the board are going to give Ole the money. And at the moment, I guess if I was betting at the moment, I would say that I think that it might be Jadon Sancho and nothing else. But you can also see that what they're trying to do is they're trying to clear out a few players, and it's probably who arrives is probably reliant on who leaves. And we saw that last season. They spent the whole summer arguing with Leicester over Harry Maguire, ended up paying what Leicester told them the price was, but also that deal didn't happen until the Lukaku to Inter deal was done. And so one was probably contingent upon the other. And I guess that might well be the case here as well. And I think that it's possible. It looks a lot like I would like a better midfield player than Matic, Fred and McTominay. I don't think that is going to happen this summer. I think there's a chance of a left back and a possibility of a centre back, maybe. But again, I think if it's Sancho, it might not be anyone else, or they might be waiting to see, as I said, to see who goes, or they might decide that actually they can't get a high quality centre back at the moment, so they're not going to just buy someone. But maybe they think they can get a high level left back, and although that's not more of a priority, if the quality of the player exists for that position, then perhaps they'll go for that. But you never really know, because it's very clear what the team and the squad need, but it's extremely unclear what the board are going to allow.
Just one last thing to finish up on, Daniel, and to go back to your piece at the weekend, last weekend, I guess talking about how uninteresting tactics are compared to the characteristics of managers and the narrative that we're going to see around so many clubs this year. That being said, does Marcelo Bielsa's arrival in the Premier League change that a little bit? I mean, there's going to be so many tactical analysis done tomorrow.
I didn't say I was uninteresting, and I didn't
less interesting, less interesting than.
I didn't even say it wasn't important. I just said that in determining who wins, stuff, talent and mentality are more important than tactics and coaching. I'm looking forward to watching Leeds like everyone is. I think Marcelo Bielsa is great, and he is an example of a manager whose strength is probably tactics and but there's a lot of motivation there as well. And ultimately, you're not going to get rubbish players playing Marcelo Bielsa's football. He had, when he did it at Athletic Bilbao, he had excellent players. So I don't think it's not that tactics aren't important. It's just that ultimately, I was saying that people are, it was about Ole Solskjaer. So I was saying that people are criticizing him for not being good at coaching and tactics. And I kind of was saying that, first of all, I don't think that he's not attempting coaching or tactics. And here are some examples of coaching and tactics. But also, sometimes the best tactics and the best coaching involves just telling players to go out and express themselves and to allow them the freedom to take risks. Because who is to say that any manager knows more than elite level players about putting together elite level attacking moves? And knowing when to leave things alone is also coaching and is also tactics and is also management. Some managers are extremely proactive in telling their players what to do. Klopp and Guardiola are that, for sure. But other extremely successful managers tend to allow that there'll always be a framework, like when the ball's here, someone should be there or you should be there, but there is more freedom within that system. I think Guardiola's quite prescriptive, and other managers allow a little bit more freedom. And I think that that in the end, it will be usually the manager with the best players wins the league. And if you think about this, think about what would happen. Think about the players that Guardiola's had. Would Guardiola's football work with players other than that? Could he go to Liverpool and impose that style on Liverpool? His style on Liverpool's players. I think that would probably be quite difficult, because the way that Liverpool play is not the same as the way that City play, and that's the beauty of football. It's a perfect game. Like, add something in one area, you automatically take something away in another area. And that's why we see a lot of close games and why goals are generally quite rare, because there's nothing that can't be countered. And there's also nothing really that hasn't been seen before, more or less. Everything is a variation, and innovation is variation, I think.
Okay, I was just going to ask if Bielsa was a more interesting strategist than pretty much anybody else in the Premier League this season. Are you looking forward to seeing his strategy in action is the question over the next little while?
Yeah, because the other thing about Bielsa is it's also, he's just an interesting personality to have around. Like, he will shake things up, and he brings an enthusiasm and a freshness and a zest. And that is not, his tactics reflect that. But yeah, like Klopp, it's housed in the individual. Like, people love Bielsa, people revere Bielsa. And you don't revere technocrats, you revere personalities, you revere tricksters, people that are able to sweep you up in the beauty and the joy and the love of their personality. And that's a personal thing. And I think Bielsa has that, and Klopp has it. And I think Ole has it in a different way, and Fergie had it. I'm absolutely looking forward to seeing what Bielsa brings to the Premier League tactically. But it seems to me to be a manifestation of the person that Bielsa is too. I mean, just that whole spying thing. I mean, amazing. more of that.
Yeah, 100%. Daniel Harris, great stuff. Enjoy the weekend football.
For the season. See you again.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.